In 2023, British Gas posted their highest profits in history, £969 million in 6 months. That same year, their debt collectors were breaking into the homes of disabled people, single parents, elderly pensioners, forcing repayment meters onto families who couldn't afford the bills that British Gas was charging them. One of those debt collectors, caught on hidden camera by a Times journalist, said,
"I love this bit.
Which bit?
This bit. I love this bit."
Breaking into a vulnerable person's home. Exciting. Lovely job satisfaction. When the CEO of British Gas's parent company was asked to justify his £8.2 million pay packet, he said, "On live TV, you can't justify a salary of that size. It's impossible to justify." He took the money anyway, obviously. But here's the thing. British Gas isn't going off script. They're playing the game exactly as designed, because the system that's supposed to protect your energy bill, the famous price cap, literally guarantees energy companies a profit. It is written right into the formula, right in the fine print. I'm Andy and this is The Fine Print, and today I'm pulling apart your energy bill, because what's hiding inside that is a system so elegantly rigged that even the regulator, you know, the one whose entire job is to protect you, is staffed by the energy companies. You couldn't make it up. And you don't have to, because it's all in their LinkedIn profiles. Right, let's start with the price cap. Most people in this country believe it protects them. It's right there in the name, right? Cap, a limit, a ceiling. Reassuring word, cap. Almost as reassuring as regulator, but we'll come back to that in a minute. Theresa May announced it at the 2017 Conservative Conference. She promised to bring an end to rip-off energy pricing once and for all. Once and for all, you say? Well, that's a bold claim. Let's see how it's going. The cap came into effect in January 2019, and since then, bills have, let me just check my notes, roughly tripled. Under the cap that ended rip-off pricing once and for all. Yeah, a little bit awkward, isn't it? Now, if you're thinking, well, that's the energy crisis, wholesale prices, war in Ukraine. I mean, yeah, all right, true, but the whole cap thing was specifically designed to shield you from exactly that sort of volatility. That was its entire purpose. And there is one rather important teeny-weeny little detail that, you know, politicians conveniently forgot to mention. The energy price cap does not cap your energy bill. It just caps the per unit rate, the price per kilowatt hour, plus a standing daily charge. But there is no limit on your total bill. If you use more energy, and here's a wild thought, maybe because you live in Britain and it's November, you pay more. No ceiling, no maximum, no cap on the thing with cap in its name. That headline figure they announce every quarter, currently £1,758, that assumes a typical household, two or three bedrooms, direct debit. If your home's older or has the insulation quality of a garden shed, which given British housing stock currently is statistically quite likely, you are going to blow way through that. But even that is not what made me angry, because the cap isn't just failing to protect you, it is actively, by design, protecting somebody else at your expense. Buried in the price cap formula is something called the EBIT allowance, earnings before interest and tax. In plain English, a guaranteed profit margin for your energy supplier. So every quarter, when Ofgem calculates the cap, they don't just add up the actual costs, they add a percentage on top. Your energy company is contractually entitled to make money from you by regulatory design. The thing that's supposed to cap your bill includes a line item that says, and here's what the company gets to keep. When the cap launched, that margin was 1.9%, about 18 quid per customer. All right, fine. Yeah, customers need some profit. But here's the trick. That margin is a percentage of all the other costs. So when wholesale prices spike, everything gets more expensive. I mean, all right, yeah, fine. I know companies need to make a profit. But here's the trick. That margin is a percentage of all of the other costs. So when wholesale prices spike and everything gets more expensive, the supplier's guaranteed profit goes up too exponentially. Automatically too. The worse things get for you, the more they're entitled to make. Somewhat of a conflict of interest, I would say. And someone has designed it that way. On purpose. And then, brace yourselves for this one, in 2023, during the worst cost of living crisis in a generation, while people were choosing between heating and eating, Ofgem looked at the guaranteed profit margin and thought, yeah, you know what? Let's bump that up. They raised it from 1.9 to 2.4%, plus an £18 headroom buffer per customer. Because if there is one group that was really struggling in 2023, it was the energy companies, you know, with their record profits and restored dividends. Oh, won't somebody think of the shareholders? Ofgem's reasoning: suppliers needed a bigger cushion because 29 energy companies had already collapsed. Which, and this is the bit where I genuinely had to go for a walk, happened on Ofgem's watch. The regulator failed to prevent 29 companies collapsing and then used its own failure as justification to increase guaranteed profits for the survivors. They basically made a monopoly for them and then handed it over. I mean, it's like a goalkeeper letting in 6 goals and then demanding a pay rise for the extra workload. But hey, let's do the maths, alright? 27 million households on capped tariffs, each with about 62 quid of guaranteed profit built into their annual bill. Your household, my household, all households. That is £1.2 billion a year, guaranteed, by the regulator, from your pocket. Not a penny of it goes for gas or electricity, just profit. Written into the rules, and in practice, Centrica, British Gas's parent, made £3.3 billion in 2022. Tripled the previous year, restored dividends, returned £800 million to shareholders. CEO's pay jumped 83% to 8.2 million quid. For running a company whose profits are guaranteed by the regulator. High-pressure job, that must be. One person inside Ofgem tried to stop this. Christine Farnish, a consumer advocate on the board, resigned in August 2022 because the regulator was giving too much benefit to companies at the expense of consumers. She warned the rule changes would add £400 to the average bill. She was ignored, and then she was gone. When the one person who pushes back gets pushed out, you're not looking at a mistake, you're looking at a feature. Because the guaranteed supplier profit, that's just one layer. There's another set of companies pulling even more money out of your bill. Companies most people have never heard of, owned by people who have never set foot in this country. Look at your energy bill. Not the big number. The line that says standing charge. That is a flat daily fee you pay regardless of how much energy you use. You could use absolutely nothing, zero, nada, no kilowatt hours at all, total abstinence from electricity, and you would still owe this charge every single day. A subscription fee, if you like, for the privilege of being connected to the grid. Netflix, but you can't cancel it. In 2019, the combined daily standing charge was about 47p. As of January 2026, it's nearly 90p. That is £328 a year before you've boiled a kettle. For the poorest 10% of households, that represents 41% of their entire energy budget. Nearly halfway through their money before the heating's even come on. 41% just to stand in the cold. So where does it all go? Mostly to the companies that own the wires under the street. Distribution network operators, DNOs. Regulated monopolies. No competition. Their wire or no wire. And Ofgem sets their profit. 2% in UK pension funds. 2%. The biggest electricity network, UK Power Networks, 8 million customers, is owned by CK Infrastructure, controlled by Hong Kong billionaire Lee Kai Shing. Bought it for $5.5 billion in 2010. Then extracted over $2 billion in dividends since. Business now valued at $15 billion. Tripled his money. You funded it. Lovely return if you can get it. The largest gas network, Cadent, 11 million homes, is owned by a consortium including the sovereign wealth funds of China and Qatar. The pipes carrying gas into your home are owned by China and Qatar. And Ofgem guarantees these owners 5.7 to 6.1% return on equity. I can't even get that from my pension fund. For a monopoly with zero risk. Government bonds pay about 4%. These lot get 50% more guaranteed for owning infrastructure built with public money before privatization sold it off. You paid to build it. You paid when they sold it, and now you're paying them to own it. It's a perfect hat trick for them. Citizens Advice found network companies made £4 billion in excess profits between 2021 and 2024. Excess. above and beyond what even Ofgem's generous framework intended, because Ofgem let them charge you for high interest rates on debt they'd already locked in at low fixed rates, charging you for borrowing costs that they weren't actually incurring. That's just fraud with spreadsheets, isn't it? And here's a bit that got me, got the old grey matter, you know, tingling away. That $4 billion in excess profits almost exactly matches the $3.8 billion in household energy debt that's built up over the same period. You reckon it's their windfall and your debt? I mean, come on, nearly to the penny. I've been staring at those two numbers, and I still don't have a clever way to frame it. It's just that. Oh, and those 29 suppliers that collapsed. The $2.7 billion cleanup cost was loaded onto your standing charge. Flat fee. Same whether you're a pensioner in a one-bed or a hedge fund manager in Chelsea. Ofgem failed to regulate companies. Oh, and those 29 suppliers that collapsed? Well, the $2.7 billion cleanup cost was loaded onto your standing charge, a flat fee. So it's the same whether you're a pensioner in a one-bed or a hedge fund manager in Chelsea. Ofgem failed to regulate, companies collapsed, and you personally paid about 100 quid towards the mess. You're welcome. So, the formula's rigged. Infrastructure sold to foreign billionaires. Standing charge is a toll that you can't escape. Which does raise a fairly obvious question. Who are these people at Ofgem? Whose side are they actually on? Oh, strap in, because this is the bit that gets good. Let me tell you about Daniel Norton. In November 2021, Ofgem hired Norton as Director of Price Cap Policy, the person responsible for the formula that determines how much you pay and how much your supplier keeps. One of the most important consumer protection roles in the country. Before joining Ofgem, Norton was Strategy Director at British Gas, working for Centrica, the company whose profits the price cap directly determine. Before that, he was Commercial Director at Colorado Energy, which collapsed the same month he joined Ofgem, costing taxpayers 6.6 million quid. Pretty strong start. But it gets better, and by better I mean worse, of course. According to his own LinkedIn, spotted by Open Democracy, because he posted about it publicly, Norton boasted that while at Centrica, he helped win a court case against Ofgem, overturned a price cap adjustment that cost Centrica £70 million. He fought the regulator, he beat the regulator, he cost them 70 million quid, and then he became the regulator. The day before starting at Ofgem, he was publicly celebrating beating them in court. When journalists asked Ofgem about this, their response was, and I promise I'm not making this up, they were delighted to have his industry expertise. Delighted. The word they bloody well used was delighted. They chose that word. He beat you in court, cost you and the taxpayer 70 million quid. And he crosses the road, sits in your chair, takes control of the formula, and you're delighted. Imagine a football club hiring the opposing striker and saying they're delighted he scored 6 past them last week. Norton isn't an anomaly. He's a pattern, by the way. He's not even the most egregious one. The current Ofgem chairman, Mark McAllister, November 2023, spent 40 years in oil and gas, founded 2 North Sea exploration companies, awarded an honorary doctorate in 2009. Savour this, for services to the oil industry. He now chairs Britain's energy regulator. 4 decades serving oil and now making sure energy companies behave. One imagines that there were some very difficult... No, actually, I imagine it's all pretty comfortable for him. Anyway, Nick Windsor, 30 years at National Grid, then Ofgem's board. Richard Smith, 20 years at National Grid, then straight to Ofgem. Charlotte Ramsey wrote Ofgem's regulatory framework, moved to National Grid to profit from it, moved back to Ofgem. Literally wrote the rules, crossed the road to exploit them, and then came back to enforce them. I mean, come on, you have to admire the commitment to the bit. 5 staff in charge of electricity markets and carbon trading came directly from Shell. Former BP UK chairman was appointed to the business department while still on BP's board. Still on the board of BP while overseeing energy policies. In what universe is that acceptable? This isn't speculation, it's on their LinkedIn profiles. Same names, every time. The people setting the rules are the people who profit from them. It's just a revolving door that nobody even pretends is locked anymore. So, formula? Rigged. Returns? Guaranteed. Infrastructure? owned abroad. Regulator, staffed by the industry. That is the system behind your bill. And what happens to the people on the other end? The ones who can't afford the bill that were designed against them from the very start? Well, this is why I'm going to drop the sarcasm, because what comes next isn't funny. Barbara Bolton was 87. She lived in Bury, Greater Manchester. In the winter of 2022, as prices hit record highs under the cap that was supposed to protect her, Barbara stopped turning on her heating. Her family bought her electric heaters, begged her to use them, told her not to worry about the cost. But she was too afraid. In December, her grandson found her slumped at her kitchen table, hypothermic, body temperature 28 degrees. She died in hospital from pneumonia brought on from that cold. The coroner recorded she had deliberately not heated her home for fear of high energy bills. 87 years old, modern Britain, froze to death in her kitchen because she was frightened of the bill. Nearly 5,000 people die every year from cold homes. 45 a day, that is, every winter. That's not a developing or third world statistic. No, that is here. That is us. And for the poorest, the ones on repayment meters, the system reserved its worst. In 2022, energy companies obtained 94,000 court warrants to break into people's homes and force-fit prepayment meters. 1,000 a day, rubber-stamped by magistrates that were handed spreadsheets of hundreds of cases and then approved all of them in 15 minutes. Some took seconds to authorise breaking into someone's home. The targets were, of course, overwhelmingly vulnerable. Single parents, people with severe mental health conditions, disabled people whose wheelchairs and ventilators run on a power supply that would cut off the moment the credit ran out. Once on a prepayment meter, when the money's gone, the power's gone. No warning, it just turns off. In 2022, 3.2 million people self-disconnected. One person every 10 seconds sitting in the cold and dark. In the sixth richest country on earth, Ofgem had received 700,000 complaints about debt treatment in 5 years, 40,000 about prepayment meters in 2022 alone. They didn't act until a Times journalist put it on the front page. Then, suddenly, they were shocked! So hold both of these in your head at the same time. On one side, a price cap guaranteeing $1.2 billion a year in profit. Network monopolies owned by Hong Kong billionaires extracting billions more. A regulator, chaired by a man with 40 years in oil. A price cap director, who celebrated beating the regulator in court the day before joining it. A CEO who made $8.2 million and said he couldn't justify it. And on the other side, Barbara Bolton, 87, dead of hypothermia in her kitchen. 5,000 a year from cold homes, 3 million sitting in the dark, debt collectors kicking in doors and calling it the exciting bit. Same story, same machine. One side gets guaranteed returns, the other gets prepayment meters and a court warrant. The regulator, the one body supposed to stand between them, was designed by one side, staffed by one side, and funded by the other. The system works exactly as designed. It's just not designed for you. I'm Andy. This has been The Fine Print. Subscribe if you want more, because we do this every week.